the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. First, Richard Fordyce, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation.
It is important work. It really does drive the activities of that local county office. Just shy of a couple of months to get through that nomination period. And then once those nominations are in and closed on August the 3rd, we will start to develop ballots, and those ballots will be mailed to eligible voters. And an eligible voter is anyone who's done a program or filed an acreage report or something like that with FSA. And those ballots will be mailed out in early November. And then once you receive a ballot as a voter, you have until December 7th to get that ballot back into the local USDA service center. Those ballots will be counted, the winner will be determined, and then those newly elected county committee members will be seated on January 1st of 2027.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll have contact information coming up. First off, Bob, how about those row crops? Quite a bit of pressure. I say pressure, just a lower day of trade with most of our row crops.
Well, yeah, the grain and oil seed markets definitely started out on a little bit of a weaker tone this week. Major factors that are working their way through the grains and oil seeds, in my opinion, starting with soybeans, would be last week we had some good news, right? The Chinese were reportedly buyers of about 420 to 600,000 metric tons. And that is a good sign. Hopefully that helps to stabilize soybean prices. The key variable, though, is going to be whether or not China continues to keep buying consistently, right? That's really what we need at the moment, especially with the depth and breadth of the competition out there, particularly out of South America. Adding to that, flash sale confirmation, export sales were solid. I think the old crop soybeans came in a little better than the market expected at about 425,000 metric tons. New crop sales about 304. I think that puts cumulative soybean sales now pretty much near USDA's full year forecast pace, which obviously adds a little bit of a bullish element to the demand side of the equation there. In terms of the week to week, right now, crop weather remains mostly bearish, although there has been some excessive rain in some localized areas. So broadly, the forecast is favorable for early U.S. soybean development, but there's going to be pockets, it appears, that may need some replanting because of the localized excessive rain potentially flooding too. The other thing that's kind of working against the market a little bit is the headlines out of the Middle East, in particular in terms of crude oil and the biofuel linkage. So we've seen a pretty sharp decline in crude oil, and that pressures soybean oil, and by extension that pressures the soybean complex, which includes soybeans. So that's working its way as a pretty strong headwind at the moment, and also ramifications of some unwinding that's happening in the marketplace and the way the market's pricing out interest rates. It's added a little bit of a bid to the U.S. dollar, and that is not necessarily friendly for the export market, as it makes our local goods a little bit more expensive on a relative basis if the dollar appreciates. So we'll keep an eye on that. In terms of the wheat market, maybe a bit of a balance at the moment. I mean, all these markets have come off pretty good, but maybe adding some stability to the wheat market would be the fact that there's been some heat and dryness out of Europe. Matif wheat was higher as a heat wave pretty much moved across much of the EU. That adds a little bit of weather risk to that market. France is a key focus. Soft wheat conditions there slipped slightly. And again, that hot, dry weather is expected to continue near term. So weather events out of Europe leaning more towards the bullish side of the equation for wheat. U.S. winter wheat obviously has had its wheat production concerns. Severe drought that we saw across the Great Plains damaged the winter wheat. That's evidenced in the crop condition numbers that we got to date here. And then also we'll be getting some renewed ones this afternoon. Keep an eye on that. And then the spring wheat quality risk is also increasing due to the excessive rain. So heavy rain has fallen in the soft red winter wheat belt, ahead of harvest, so that's raising some quality concerns. Again, adding a bit of a bid there. On the export front for wheat out of the U.S., export sales last week were steady. Weekly wheat sales totaled about 428,000 metric tons across the current and the next marketing year, and that brought cumulative sales close to the normal pace versus the USDA's forecast. So supportive because we're hitting that number, but not necessarily by any means fabulously bullish. And then last but not least, working our way into the corn market. At this point, weather is kind of like soybeans, broadly favorable. That's, I think, putting a bit of a cap on any rallies that have been trying to show themselves in the market. That's a thing. In terms of the export demand, that's a supportive factor, and I would say a major supportive factor. Old crop corn export sales rebounded to about 45.6 million bushels. That's the strongest comparable week total in roughly two decades. So that's definitely indicating a good week, that's for sure, last week. And then cumulative commitments are now above 3.3 billion bushels and very close to the USDA's full-year target. So things are pretty strong on the export front in terms of corn. The world situation, Mexico demand remains important. We need to see them continue to be buyers. Chinese interest is rumored, but not yet necessarily confirmed. Any kind of meaningful Chinese corn purchase, in my opinion, that could definitely change the sentiment pretty quickly. Brazil's crop was trimmed slightly, but global supply still looks adequate. I believe Safras and Mercado, they lowered Brazil's corn crop estimate just a bit to about just shy of 140 million metric tons, with second crop output almost also trimmed a bit too there. So the reductions are supportive at the margin, but I wouldn't say not necessarily enough by themselves to create some kind of major supply scare by any means. External influences hitting the corn market, similar to the other markets there, with the crude oil weakness, that's a headwind. And then also the stronger U.S. dollar, that's also a bit of a negative. So plenty of things impacting these markets on a week-to-week basis. We'll continue to watch the weather. I think that's the key variable at the moment. As long as it stays conducive, I think rallies are going to be hard to come by. Unless, of course, some kind of new big purchase comes along, perhaps from the likes of China, either in our corn or soybean markets, and that might add a little bit of a push to the upside to the market. So we'll keep an eye out for this information and trade accordingly.
We're talking with Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Guest today is Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading. He's in Chicago. Bob, let's talk livestock futures, cattle market higher.
Yeah, we started off with a pretty good pop to the upside in the cattle futures today, and it gave up a little bit as the day evolved, but still ended up fairly strong with the August up about 105 and the October's in the live cattle sector up 140, feeder cattle up around 4.5-5 cents or so. So that's a good thing. Hogs ended up just a bit lower. What's driving this cattle? Well, we got the cattle on feed report. That was friendly overall. May placements came in at just 90.3% of last year. That was below trade expectations and the smallest May placements since 2009, which essentially suggests fewer cattle moving into feedlots and supports the deferred cattle and feeder cattle futures. On-feed supplies are still large. That tempers the bullish placement number a bit. Total land feed were 102.1% of last year. That was near expectations and at a four-year high. So a bit of caution there in terms of the number on feed. And really, I think that's a ramification of the longer feeding periods. And it's a little bit harder to make this number, compare this number year on year like we have in the past because of the current dynamic where the head are being held longer than normal. Longer than typical, let's put it that way. Marketings were very low. Marketings were 88.2%, second lowest May marketings figure since the since the data series began, and that basically points to slower cattle movement moving through the system. And clearly, I mean, it kind of makes sense big picture because there's less numbers out there, so you would expect the marketings to be on the lower side, right? Cash cattle traded higher last week. I think the fed cattle eventually traded mostly 258, 260 in the south there versus 255, 256 the previous week. So anywhere up from, $3 to $4 or so. Late week cash strength was supported for futures. Feeder cattle, calf markets, they're still remaining strong. OK City feeder results were higher. Feeder steers up anywhere from $2 to $10 with some of the 600 to 700 hundredweight, 600 to 700 weight steers up as much $20 or so. So strong markets on the cash side of the equation. Box beef is high, but I guess we'll call it showing some mixed, slightly softer near-term action. I mean, the prices remain elevated, decent action week on week. But there is a bit of, I would say, limiting packer enthusiasm, especially because the margins remain pretty deeply negative for packers. So one report, I think last week, showed packard margins somewhere around negative 254 per head. Feedlot margins remain positive, but those negative packet margins, really can constrain the slaughter pace and cash aggressiveness. So we'll just have to see how that works its way through the marketplace. Beef imports, as a ramification of our high prices, they were reported up 11% year to date. This is primarily mostly relevant for lower grade beef and ground beef supply. The export sales were weaker, so higher imports, lower export sales. Beef export sales were 10,400 metric tons, down 45% from the prior week and down about 8% below the 4-week average. So this is a demand side negative primarily. So those are a few of the things that the beef market is just trying to grapple with. There's many things that are working their way through there, through the market, and providing fundamental influences. We also need to keep an eye on the feeding costs, which right now is pretty good compared to what it was 4 weeks ago, but it'll need to stay down here in order to continue to see a healthy market in the beef. So we'll see how it plays out.
Talking with Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donnie Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, how do we keep the conversation going?
Yeah, for the producers, the hedgers, the active traders out there looking for an experienced person like myself to collaborate with, I'd be happy to visit with them. about their market objectives, risk tolerance, and execution needs. To learn more, you just pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or come visit online at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Again, Bob Maurer with Manduca Trading on the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report, USDA's Mark Jekinowski.
All reduction in our cheese price forecast for 2026, down 4 cents per pound. Butter nearly steady, up 1 cent per pound. We made a fairly large adjustment to our non-fat by milk price, lowered that by 7 cents per pound, now forecast at $1.70 per pound. But important to point out that non-fat dry milk, it got historically high into mid-May. It spiked above $2 per pound, and now it's just starting to come back a little bit closer to normal, but even at current prices and at our current forecast, it remains historically high. In terms of dairy class prices, a focus mainly on the all milk price for 2026. Our forecast was reduced 55 cents per hundredweight. It's now at $20.70 per hundredweight. And for 2027, nearly steady, down 5 cents per hundredweight at $20.90 per hundredweight.
It's the Agribusiness Report.